I took Channel 1 over, and beginning of the visit was a surprise visit with Judy Lee. She brought Mamu home this Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971, Channel 1 over. And beginning of this surprise visit with Judy Lee, she brought Mamu home this Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971, beginning of Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over on the cookie tape. Beginning of Channel 1 over on the cookie tape this Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971. Beginning of visit with Judy Lee. She brought Mamu back home in the little VW. The one she goes to work in. This is Channel 1 over. Beginning the visit with Judy Lee. She brought Mamu back this Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971.
Yeah.
Regular too, isn't it?
Yeah. The only thing exciting is one case of chicken pox. Hope I don't get that. Mamu, come on here and sit down. Come on.
You want to sit over here, Mother?
No, I'll come in a minute. I'll talk to her a little minute. We hear you talk a little bit.
Nick got that idea you see about the disposable ice like.
He's a on the right.
He's
our electrician. Now, you didn't buy the right brand, so you know, I can't help you.
He said it cost $1. Well, I paid $1.65. He said it lasted 6 weeks, 6 months, and that lasted a week.
You didn't get my brand.
Didn't get his brand.
And he said you get him at the drugstore. I got the drugstore.
The moral to that is don't ever buy it. Or something.
Tell
pay attention
truth
when you advise. That's the moral.
That's the moral.
Oh, attention to what you buy there. Yeah.
You think it's just gone?
It's a bulb. Got plenty of juice in there.
Oh, it's a bulb.
Mm-hmm. You got a spare one around and put it in.
Yeah, I've got.
they put Nick to work when he comes out here.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. Say you got one case of chicken pox.
Yeah, maybe you've had it. So
no, I haven't had it. I haven't had measles, mumps, or chicken pox. I'm waiting on them to get me.
And you've gone from school and haven't got them.
No, I didn't get the mumps, and all the kids have had mumps now. Maybe I'll be fortunate.
Yes, sir.
She likes it. Mm-hmm. It's a bright one. How about that?
Yeah.
That's a new place.
New thing back in. Well, we were just wanting to.
They ought to have a little satchel or something on the clamp on the side where you can open them up.
Yeah, well, see, you could never replace this.
I know, but you might want to
you
look at
it. You could replace the bulb.
You kind of like
that. You know what? I could have dropped that.
Yeah, you could have. See, it's got a broken filament.
Without noticing it. Those filaments sometimes almost
they sometimes, yeah, that's right. You can just jar them the wrong way and they can.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun easy.
Judy?
Sir.
Cat got your car.
What can you say
why
after
don't
that?
You go to South America. So you tell me something else about South America.
Oh, I told you all I know.
Well, you did.
I did. I filled you full of it one day.
You did. That was nice. I've forgotten it though. You know, I'd have to kind of.
Well, other things have happened.
Back up on.
Golly, God, I'm real.
She's just a teacher, man. She's
that's right. I have my. When I was in South America, I was preoccupied with that. Now I'm teaching, and I have to be preoccupied with teaching.
That's right. Yeah.
And you kind of drift away and forget about it. So.
Well.
She says she's all on both.
The children?
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, they're great little kids. They really are. cute as buttons.
6 years old?
No, most of them are 7. Some of them are 9. I think a couple of them are 15.
Yeah.
No, I think the oldest one is 9 in my room.
That makes a year, though, makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. They're a lot bigger, and they're, yeah. There's something. Oh, boy.
At that age, they don't mind learning, do they?
No, most of them are, I think if their environment was better, they'd be a lot more intelligent, you know, a group of children. But they're way below in reading. Like, most of my children are in a primer book, which is before the first reader, and here they are almost getting ready to go into third grade. But the book is so bad that it's just, you know, it's all aimed at a white middle-class family. You know, Dick and Jane live on the hill with mother and father in the dog Spot, and they live in a white house with green curtains. You know, and these children don't have any idea what that is. It's just like a foreign language to them, and they can't adapt to it. And I think this is one of the main reasons that they're so far behind. But they do all right in math. Most of them are just, you know, right on the ball in math. They know what they're doing, and they understand it with a little bit of explanation. But in reading, they have a horrible time.
Well, I see. They don't have to adapt to that white house on the hill.
Right.
Math.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Okay.
Well, now the math problems would be the class.
Not really, because you can adapt it to their environment. You know, you can use chickens and pigs and hogs and things like this.
Yeah.
And so it really helps. If you told them you were going to give them a dime to go to the store and buy candy with, a lot of them would have problems with it. But if you work on a lower level or something, you know, adding things that they can, that they're familiar with, you don't have much of a problem. I guess you could for candy or something like that. But not too many other things.
The background not too good?
Mm-mm.
You don't know the mom and pop?
I met a couple of them. I got one little boy out there who is just as cute as a button. He's the smallest child in my room. And he has 6 brothers and sisters, and they all live with their grandmother, and she must be 70, close to 70. And then one little girl has 10 brothers and sisters, and they live in a 2-room house. And so it's kind of depressing sometimes.
Well, they don't mind.
Well, the guy, you can ask him, though. Like I asked him one day after the first cold snap we had, I asked him, I said, how many of you slept warm last night? And the white children raised their hands, and about 3 or 4 black children raised their hands. And the rest of them evidently just didn't sleep warm. And that's kind of, you know, it's hard to sleep. You know, you can't go to sleep when you're cold. I can. I'm staring freeze to death. Get up and turn up the electric blanket, but they can't do that. And that's problems right there. But, you know, we do have that free breakfast and free lunch program.
Uh-huh.
And over half of my kids are on it. And that means they get a good breakfast in the morning and a good lunch. And then they, you know, whatever they get for supper is their own business.
Oh, they come early enough to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really eat.
Yeah, they get pancakes and syrup.
What?
They do. They were in there the other morning frying pancakes for those children. They give them eggs and sometimes they get some type of a bacon and toast, and sometimes they get grits. What is that? Corn? Is it cornmeal mash? Cornmeal? It's something grainy looking, kind of like. Have you ever heard of that? It's like grits, but it's like cornmeal mash.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And they have that occasionally. But they always get milk.
I've had long fee. I figure
on you. Yeah, well, they have good breakfasts.
Well,
that be? Teachers just might go in and supervise.
Well, we can eat there if we want to, but we don't get it for free, of course. But they really do get good breakfast.
You can eat there?
Yeah. You eat breakfast there. You have to pay for it like anything else, but you can eat.
What do you need this apple?
They would charge money.
You
won't
get
that kind of
bowl.
Oh, I see.
Get it? I have one little boy that was away for about a week and a half or 2 weeks after Christmas, and he came back, and somebody had said that he had moved to Georgia, and so I had him tell the class about it, and he said he's accused, so he pounced like that all the time. His eyes go way back in his head and his lip comes way out. And I said, Bruce, tell this class about your trip to Georgia. And he's kind of silent. You have to kind of prod him along, you know. And I said, well, Bruce, how did you get to Georgia? And he said, we went in my daddy's truck. And I said, oh, Bruce, I said, I bet that was so much fun riding up there in a truck all the way to Georgia. I said, did you ride in the front of the truck with your mom and dad? No, ma'am, we rode in the back with the hogs. He rode all the way to Georgia and then all the way back with hogs. He's a mess.
That's more fun than riding with the old folks.
I guess it would be for them. Yes, it would be.
Don't waste that. Don't waste that.
Waste what?
It's fine.
Judy, he didn't have to ride with a hog, did he?
See, there wasn't any room in the front. Yeah, he did. He and his brothers and sisters.
You mean the whole family went to Georgia?
Mm-hmm. They were going to move, and evidently he couldn't find work up there, so they turned around and came back.
Oh.
But, he had to ride in the back.
Well, did he...
Watching that case.
Did you... you could learn more from the parents, mamas and papas, than good for the children. If you could get to them.
But that's difficult. They don't like to come in for conferences.
Go out and see them.
Yeah, but a lot of them work, you know, till late at night.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, you know, to face all those kids all day long and then tromp over to their house at 7, you know, go home and then come back at 7:30 at night to see them.
Wouldn't be hard on you.
I go home every afternoon after facing those 28 kids all day long and daddy's playing that piano. Sometimes I think my head's going to go off the top.
Judy, you made a letter. You are indestructible.
I like to think that, but I don't think it's the truth. I just don't think it's the truth.
See, look at that thing. Look at that.
She's tough as leather.
Muscular. Tough.
God, I want you to know I've lost 17 pounds.
No nerves. Oh, really?
Yes, I have.
That's what facing 28 little children do to you.
Yeah.
That's right.
But look how much you're learning.
That's true. That's really true.
Now, you don't have to take other people's word for it. Nah, you can see yourself, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many things down there that you know that that the school needs and the children need, but you just, you know, it's so hard to get around to all of it. We're trying to fight the pollution problem in McIntosh at the same time, by the way. You know, old Odie Huff and his grove.
Yeah.
It was just black smog around the school Thursday. It was horrible. And I called him up that afternoon, and I talked to this man, and he got on the phone for a few minutes, but I didn't say much to him. But he said that they burn diesel fuel in those pots.
Yeah.
Diesel fuel. And they have, now they didn't burn this many, but they have 22,000 pots. And each pot holds...
25 gallons.
No.
50.
No.
Five.
Eight. No, nine gallons. And they'll burn, you must know something about the citrus industry. They'll burn for 9 hours on 8 hours on 9 gallons. And that means that if he burned all those pots for 8 hours, he would use up 198,000 gallons of diesel fuel and put it into the air.
Yeah, right down low.
Right over your chiller.
That's right. Did you see the thing in the paper about the in Bartow and Lakeland? Did they burn those when they burn those smudge pots?
No.
They said that the man that's in charge of some pollution effort, you know, anti-pollution effort in this state, said that the pollution down there was at a critical level because of the cloud covering, which happened here. And if there hadn't been clouds, the stuff would have gone on off, and it wouldn't have been so bad.
Yeah.
But there's soot even on the back of my car now from it. But he said that the pollution was at a level where it would either kill or seriously harm an individual if they were in it for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And you know, that's bad.
Cool little oranges can't breathe.
Let them pick them. Yeah. Poor little orange is my foot.
Get scurvy.
Isn't there anything
that's
else?
Worse than pollution.
Well, they can take vitamin C tablets like Daddy does. What I want to find out is there anything else that they can burn besides diesel fuel? There must be that doesn't pollute the air as much.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Rubber tires.
That's even worse, isn't it? I want something that's not as bad. I bet there is something, but I bet it's more expensive.
Yeah. Well, now let me tell you. The week before that, Freddie Woods had cleared about 10 acres of land over there, and he burned it. You know how they stack them and burn it?
Yeah.
All right. He burned. It took a week to burn that stuff. Every morning I'd go out there, and it was just thick.
Oh, God.
And then the next week, you had that freeze, and Mr. Huff got it.
Fired it up.
And the man down, I went to Ocala down there, to the shop, and this fella in there said, now you come out here and look at that haze. He says, now that, if you want to know what Southern California's like, he says, that's like Southern California on the clearest day. And that haze was so thick,
you couldn't even see the sun. What are we going to do about it? We've got to do something. Can't let him pollute the air like that and get away with it. I know I ought to be riding a bicycle to school, but I just can't get up enough nerve to do that.
Ride a horse.
Ride a horse to school. That's another suggestion, isn't it?
I paid $100 to get my vows ground. I thought that would help.
Did it?
Well, it's pumping oil. So
now
the car won't even run.
No, kerosene is cheaper than diesel fuel.
Does it pollute more?
No, but it doesn't ride much. A lot more than that.
There ought to be something that they could do about it. I don't know what.
They don't have to, don't they?
They sure are.
Well, they're not going to change unless you can present something that's going to substitute. They will never stop completely and altogether. Unless they're going to do something to heat up the growth.
Oh, yes, they will.
They sure better, I'll tell you.
The tide has turned. Did you know that the work had halted again?
For our barge canal?
Yeah.
That's right. And did you hear the news today?
No.
Nixon had a conference with those guys about it, and the pro-conservationists were, as the newsman put it, bumbling idiots, and could not even present a reasonable argument to President Nixon about it. And now they're considering starting to back up again. Because the guys, whoever the conservationists were, that sent to argue the other side against the pro-barge people were just fools and didn't need to present a halfway decent argument. And now President Nixon is concerned, let me start back again. Now why they do that, I don't know. But they've already plotted out an alternate route, and they may start up again. Go ahead.
Judy, what else you, what do you, is it, The school people down there, do you get to see any of them, the principal and all of them?
Oh, yeah. Down at Collier?
Yeah.
Sure. She's the one that told me not to complain about it, to do something about it.
Yeah.
About the pollution. A very nice person. Yeah.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. She said, just don't mention my name. It's bad because, you know, that Odie Huff is probably a very wealthy and influential person. I'm sure he is. I've seen his son several times, and I know that
it's not
hurting at all. And a hard person to fight.
What does his son look like?
Well, last time I saw Jimbo, he's kind of chunky, had short hair. About 4 years ago, four or 5 years ago.
Is he, how far along is he?
He's my age, I think.
You don't see much of it.
Oh, no, I haven't seen him in four years. I don't even know what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll get after his daddy.
I doubt it. This guy probably got a nice share in the industry.
I don't think there's anything in there. No money in it anymore.
Not this far north.
And Mr. Huff is the president of the whole citrus growers. He has been this last year. How long he's been, I don't know. And they tell me they keep saying put in more citrus, and they already got so many, you see, that they can't keep the price up. It's losing profits.
He sure does. If he's not doing well, then he ought to just not worry about his growth so much.
Well, he's obviously doing well.
Well, they sure ought to do something.
Well, they have to protect the trees a little bit.
What would happen if they picked those oranges before the freeze?
Well, they can
pick them. Have green oranges. They'd be eating lemons.
They can
would
pick
they
them.
Be that bad? There sure ought to be some
other
way to.
The freeze comes. You turn on the news and see there's going to be a freeze tomorrow. You're going to pick them all?
Yeah, that's what we did at the house.
28 million acres of
oranges.
You were picking one night?
Yeah.
But still, you that's fine. But you can't, I'm feel real sorry for the oranges. But that black soot that was all over our school. I mean, that just, I can't think of the word I want to use, but that just doesn't make up for it, you know? Just doesn't make up for it in my book.
So we don't get much of it up here, but right down there at Orange Lake.
Yeah. Terrible.
Ready, they're just living right at the end of the chimney.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth, guys. It really is.
And they I don't know what, I've not talked to any of them, but they're bound to do something about it. They just have to.
Got to.
These days, I don't believe they can keep on.
They won't do anything about it unless people harass them, I'm afraid.
No.
Of course, that's the way with anything nowadays. You sit back and wait for it to happen. It won't ever happen. You got to get out and make it happen.
Yeah. The conservation people, they keep pressing. I think they'll keep on pressing these things a little by little.
Well, they got results.
Hear about all those sheep that died again out in Nevada?
Mm.
Nuclear fallout.
Yeah, these,
There's a good article in National Geographic about the wild horses. The only ones left in the country out there that are being just
shot.
kill for glue.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that thing on TV several weeks ago on Walter Cronkite about this exclusive hunting resort, a country club type place up in, it was either Canada or Alaska, or maybe it was off of Washington. It was out on the Sound, I think, off the Sound. And they paid people to bring animals in there and let them loose, and then these hunters would come and pay a fantastic amount to join this country club and go out there and shoot the animals.
Well, that's common. That's horrible.
That's horrible.
They do that in Tennessee. They bring in all the doves and quail and pheasant, and they turn them loose, and everybody goes out and hunts them. Oh, this
that's
is done in every. This is done right here in Florida with doves. I've been in, seen hunts down there, down South Florida, where they bring in tons of doves and bring them in, turn them loose, and everybody goes in there and hunts them.
They ought to do that to the people that hunt them. Get them all together and let somebody shoot at them for a while.
Yes, I remember when I first came down here, there was a big land holding over there towards Newberry. And what they did was raise pheasants and doves and quails or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come in from all around and pay, you know, to hunt. I don't know the names, but that's not far from the game, right west of town.
Mm-hmm. That's common.
I think it's out on the Archer Road or Newberry Road or somewhere. I forget now.
The thing about it is they're not using, they don't go out and catch wild doves and things, and they breed and raise their own.
Yeah.
That's
these people go out
made.
And track them and bring them in there for these people to hunt and kill.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, like, and some of them, you know, are, they aren't, I'm sure they wouldn't let them do it if they were becoming extinct, but some of them you just don't see an awful lot of, you know. Some of the animals that they put out there.
Does that interest in things like that?
Nah, don't pay too much attention to it.
I never hear him talk about it.
He doesn't pay too much attention to it. Unfortunately, I
well, you know, one nice thing is the things that everybody else will take care of, you don't have to worry about. You can figure your own solution now. Somebody else will take care of it. I used to figure that about integration. There's enough people in this matter without me. So I never get away
from that. Oh, I'm gonna have to ask this before I say anything. You don't have anything to do with trade winds, do you?
Me?
Yeah.
What's trade
winds? You know that? Okay. So I thought I was gonna say this, and then he's gonna say, "Oh, my mother and father own it." Should be good. You know that place down here in Orange Lake? They have you ever heard about it, Aunt Fefe?
No.
Well, last year, two teachers went in there, two white teachers and a black teacher, and they wouldn't let them in. They kept the door locked, just, you know, threw them out and locked the door. Second time, somebody else went in there with a black teacher, and the waitress came up and she said, we have to serve you, nigger, but we don't have to serve, we aren't, you know, forced to serve the white people. And they wouldn't serve the white teacher, and they served the black teacher and just filled her food with pepper. Filled it. You know, that makes me so mad. It really does. For people to be like that.
Right down at the trade wind.
What? Trade wind.
What is that, a restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only restaurant in this whole area.
I've never been there.
Now, they would do the same thing at Micanopy if they had a restaurant.
They probably would. They probably would.
You know, they get away with it in San Augustine. That
yeah.
place in San Augustine, Papa Doc's or whatever the name
yeah.
of it is. And they get away with it legally. I mean, constitutionally, legally. They have a big sign. We reserve the right to serve whoever we please in front, and they will serve no blacks. And they get away with it legally. In fact, there was a case in the Supreme Court on this one place, and they won their case.
Yeah.
because the foundation for the civil rights bill is on interstate commerce, and they're not involved in it. Every stone, every piece of board, that whole place down there came, everything from Florida. Every little thing. The tables are made out of Florida pine. Everything. There's no interstate commerce.
Yeah.
So they're not under... Everything they buy to put in it, the milk comes from Florida cows, the beef comes from Florida cows, the shrimp comes from Florida, everything.
And then they don't have to comply with
the
law?
So they don't have to comply with the law because they're not in interstate commerce.
Huh, that's interesting.
See, that's how the federal courts get these people. They say, you have to take blacks in your motel because you're in interstate commerce. And we have control of interstate commerce, federal government.
Yeah.
I know that.
So that's how the civil rights bill works. See? So you can hook and crook around the rule if you want. Maybe that's what Trade Winds is doing.
Judy, how's your vehicle holding up?
Real well. Now they're going to repaint the front of it for me down in Ocala as soon as the weather's, you know, nice for the weekend. Because it's got a bad paint job on the front of it. And I didn't think they were going to do it. But he said, yeah, they would. They were real nice about it. And it shakes a little bit at 70. So... keeps my speed down, but I think the wheels are a little bit out of line, but that's all, you know.
70 is the speed limit.
I know, but it, you know, I shouldn't drive that fast to start out with. Should keep it down, but I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I always drive too fast.
So is it brand new or something?
Well, it's a 70. It's not a 71. I got it, you know, a year old. It was new, never been driven, but it was 70.
Yeah, you have to break them in at varying speeds.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's what they tell you. They told me that. 550 for an hour, then 60, and then 40, and then 70. And
really?
Didn't they tell you that?
Mm-mm.
That's what they told me. They said that's how you're breaking in. You got to do that for 500 miles.
Yeah.
No, they didn't tell me that.
What's wrong with it?
It's got a crappy paint, crummy paint job on the front of it.
And they're going to redo it?
Yeah.
Free?
They're going to do the front of it. Yeah.
Where are you going? That's a minor thing.
Yeah. It runs real well. Gets 15 miles to the gallon.
And you? That's 70.
Yeah.
It starts
that's
going
it.
Down from there.
Yeah.
When you get to 80, then you start getting 12 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
In 90, you get 10 miles a gallon.
I don't ever go there. I never go over 75 is up about the top I've ever had that cost. I don't ever take it up any higher than that. You
that's
know,
as fast as it'll go.
That's got a V8 engine in it. I want to tell you that thing can take off if I want it to. You know, Guy, I have always been the last in my family at everything. Always been last to finish high school, last to finish college, last to get married, last to teach,
last to be born,
everything like that. Finally, I was first with a new car, brand new car. She's got a new car. She's finally first in the family with something. Not 3 months have I had that new car. Every daughter in the family has passed me. They all got 71s, and now I'm at the end again with an old 70. I'm so mad, I don't know what to do. It just infuriates me. And Linda and Phil are the only ones, you know, that have a cheaper car than I do. Becky and Gerald got one of these great big old huge Mercury GT things with the flap-out lights, and Nancy and Henry got a great big old Torino with the flap-out lights and everything on it. And here I am at the end of the line again. I'm so mad about it.
We'll just take it down and get you a
71
great big Maserati or something.
Something to wipe them off the road with. And now Daddy's thinking about getting a Mustang, and Mom's thinking about getting a Torino. Both 71s. Now, if you know if they do that, I'm just going to quit.
You won't get yours paid for.
I don't care what.
You got it down in Ocala?
Yeah. No, yeah. I got this one in Tampa. Hmm. Got it down in Tampa.
Well, what is the flap-out lights?
You know, you pull the lights are concealed, and you pull, you know, you turn them on, and they go, and come out at you like a bug.
You remember I showed you those on mine?
Oh,
forgot that.
Don't you remember? I showed you all about that.
You're a real fancy. All I want in this world, get in the way of a car, is that 59 Plymouth that didn't have to have any work ever done on it, and it didn't use any gas, and it just rode beautiful. And I could drive up to it with $5 in my pocket and fill it up and have $3 left. That's the kind of car I want.
The old one you gave the cookie?
Yes. I was reading about that car.
You know, I was reading about down in Fort Lauderdale, a suburb of Fort Lauderdale, up this way, a little bit north of it, has gone in big for getting rid of automobiles. Everybody's got horses now. They got hitching rails in front of all the stores, and people ride into town with their horses and park them, and they got big things for grocery bags on the back of their horses. I saw girls, women with their groceries, on the back of their horses going downtown. And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people are doing that, getting rid of their cars and doing it.
That's going to put a something in the nation.
You get you a horse, I tell you. Old Millhouse would be on top of that in 10 minutes.
Judy, does Henry have highfalutin taste in automobiles,
too? Oh, yeah. Brother-in-law Henry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got highfalutin taste in automobiles.
You know, I haven't seen him so long, and I haven't been able to keep up with him.
Well, he's still around.
But he's gone up the road since I saw him.
Well, he's driving. The thing is, they got everything underneath the sun on that car. Does everything but fly and swim. Just buttons, drive, looks like a space capsule. I'm lucky I got a radio on mine, you know. I really am.
But you're the only one with a yaller car.
That's right, a yaller car with a black cat. The only one.
Well, is she extreme too, or is it just Henry?
It's just Henry. I don't know. Nancy likes a nice car, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. She'd probably get something like that.
Well, doesn't she have any extravagances?
Not much. She's a pinch penny guy. She holds on to those nickels and dimes.
Oh, she does.
Oh, boy, yeah. She can remember if you owe her a quarter for about 3 years. That's how bad Nancy is. Becky and Linda will forget, but not Nancy. She remembers. I remember like an elephant when it comes to money. Mm-hmm.
Well, is she earning now?
Yeah, well, she's still working. She's teaching.
Yeah.
She's teaching up there in Lake City.
She just has a private income, hasn't she?
Yeah. Toodles along with it.
Now, they don't live in a trailer anymore.
No, they have that house. You know, they bought that. When they came back from Germany and went to Texas, and then when they moved back from Texas, they got that trailer, that brand new trailer. And no sooner than they got that they found this house. And so they sold the trailer and bought the house.
Mm-hmm. At Lake City?
Yeah.
So they have men of property now.
Yeah, they own their little property.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
They just going up too fast in the world.
They buy a car so often, too, guy. That bothers me. I hope to have mine for about 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 years. I'm going to have to because I'm not going to be able to pay for it until then. And they just get one every couple years. Must be nice.
Boy, you're a teacher. You're making money.
Yeah, but I tell you, it doesn't last long when you're filling up the car with gas to go 30 miles every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Linda have extravagant taste to it?
She'd like to, but she can't afford to. That's right. Becky and Gerald are the only ones who like to and do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're the only ones.
They're living high.
They're living high on the hog. Pretty high, not real high, but it's high for what they, you know.
Always had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I think they're a little bit worse off.
They don't mind a good salary, but they have expensive living.
Yeah. And, you know, down in Bogota, everything was paid for, just about.
Yeah.
Got living expenses and housing allowances and salaries and all sorts of things. And now they got to pay for it. They're making it, but they got to pay for it. Gerald refers to the district as the asphalt jungle. That was very interesting. He has to go into the asphalt jungle every day.
Well, what do they have? Do they own the house?
No, they're renting one. It used to be Bill Moyers. You know, the press secretary, one of Johnson's press secretaries? Before he became press secretary, it was his house. And it's a nice house. It's got about 3 bedrooms downstairs, you know, basement area. It's a nice house. I didn't tell you about my trip back from there, did I?
Not a word.
It was horrible. Never going to fly again, guys. The worst plane trip I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah.
They just, 15 minutes out of Washington, that pilot came on, and he told us about the weather that we were going to be going through, and that plane started bumping, and I'll tell you, it didn't stop till we got down. I have never prayed so much in my entire life. I just was scared to death. It just and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to alarm you, but don't unfasten your seat belts or get out of your seats unless it's an absolute emergency." And I mean, that's when my heart just
fall.
I know, but I was still. And and you know what else he did? He talked to the crew, to the passengers all the way to Jacksonville. Every 5 minutes he came on that thing to calm people down in that plane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'd tell us little things like when we flew over Raleigh, outside we were flying at 35,000 feet, and he said that the temperature outside was 76 degrees below zero. And he said that, I thought, boy, that's going to be a nice cold fall all the way to the ground. And he said, I don't know if this is possible, but I think he said that the wind was coming out of the, whichever way it was coming, the south, and hitting the nose of the plane at 105 miles an hour on the right-hand side of the plane.
Sure,
it was horrible.
I think it's up to 200 miles an hour.
Up there?
Well, it was
bad
enough at
105. Well, it gets up hundreds of miles an hour up there, way in high altitude. Yeah, he would have landed if there was really dangerous.
I thought maybe he was
that
scared to come down.
Judy, I had a trip like that. It didn't last that long. I didn't go there about 1,000 feet. Go didn't have an accident. But it was bumping up and down all like that. All around me, they were just sick all over the place.
Yeah.
And there I sat just upright. It didn't bother me at all. Now, isn't that something? It's disgusting, isn't it?
I wish I could have been like
no,
that.
No.
Oh, my muscles were knots. I was just sitting there just shaking.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
But if I got on one of these steeds out of here, I would do worse than that. I couldn't stand it. That scared me to death.
I'm Trey Places with you anytime, guys.
Of course, it wasn't my choice to get on this one.
Oh. I gotta get, didn't I? You know,
No,
I got to get up.
Baby,
I got my children tomorrow. I got 11
days. And I've got a steak on for you. Well, look here, what can you do in preparation?
Hey, I've got to get.
You know, you can go on home.
I keep telling her I've got to get. I really
What can you do in preparation? You mean you're prepared when you go?
Oh, yeah. I have everything just mapped out. What I'm going to do.
Yeah.
What I need. Yeah.
You don't go in there just and
not off the cuff, not yet.
Right.
It's a little bit too difficult. Baby, I really appreciate the offer, but I just gotta get home.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it.
I got
a scoop. I know I will. Listen, you know, I don't turn down steak very
often.
What
sort of thing do you have to get together? Just pencils and paper?
No. I have to, you know, make out what type of English work they're going to have for today, what we're going to work on, what I'm going to need, you know, to teach a science concept, working on a unit in economics.
With second graders?
Second graders. producers and consumers and wants and needs, and my children are just like that, right on top of it.
Well, now you haven't told us about that.
Well, that's it. Here's so much.
You hear time go home, and we haven't started.
I haven't even heard about producers and consumers.
Give me a little idea, just a small idea.
Of what it's about?
Yeah.
Well, all it is it's they have overhead, you know, projectors that you use with these, I can't even think of the name of anything tonight, overlays and things like that, and you project it up on the wall. And the first concept is a picture of a farmer with, you know, the corn and stuff growing in the back and cows. And you talk about where you get, you know, the three necessities in life, food and shelter and clothing. And we're talking about things that we really need and things that we just would like to have, you know. And then you make up a stencil and run it off and hand it out to them with things on it like corn and maybe an ice cream cone or a TV set and a house and a coat and a pair of shoes and some marbles or a ball or something. And then they have to go through and circle the things that are really necessities, you know, things that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to help them understand, get a kind of an understanding of economics. Of course, you never say the word economics, but it's called another unit in social studies. Get out your stuff for social studies.
You're making a great mistake not saying.
Look at how did they put on the dog up there, Daryl and?
What do you mean how they put on the dog?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, they're high class living and all like that.
They just got a big fancy car, you know.
They got dogs and.
They just got one dog, just Turnip, and they got the two parrots.
Yeah. Well, they got that fancy house.
Yeah. Well, it's nice.
Not too fancy.
No, it's not too fancy. It's just middle class suburbia.
Yeah, middle class. But they live at higher than the rest of
that's
your
right. Room. They can afford things that are nice, like that car.
Well, yeah. Do they eat well and things like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We. Becky has lumpy cream of wheat every morning. I thought I was gonna die. Lumpy cream of wheat, and there was always one big, huge, 20-pound lump in my bowl waiting on me, and I knew I just dreaded to get up every morning. She said, "Judy, it's good. It sticks to your ribs, and it's snowing outside. You're gonna need it." And I thought about that lump all my throat all day long. Another lump of cream of wheat.
Well, what did you rather have for breakfast?
Well, that's certainly not lumpy cream of wheat. I don't know. I'd rather just not eat.
Well, what breakfast do you eat?
I usually eat an egg and a glass of orange juice and a piece of toast.
Orange juice, but you're going to get rid of them.
Fine, I'll take my vitamin C. I'll change to apple juice.
You eat eggs?
I eat one egg. Mm-hmm.
By itself?
No, just a piece of toast.
Piece of toast. And no.
A big glass of OJ.
And you don't drink milk or anything?
No.
Just
don't
OJ.
Don't like milk. Can't stand milk. Mm-mm, no coffee.
Just egg and orange juice. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. And toast.
Well, where'd you get into that system?
Well, I got to have something to run on all morning, I'll tell you. No, at lunch, we just, you know, we eat in the cafeteria.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just usually eat something. I'm trying to keep a count of my carbohydrates. I lose weight. So I just eat meat or whatever they have.
At lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have good food.
They do. Oh, yeah. It's real good. She couldn't find, you know, and she does such a good job of it, too, Guy. You know, she makes spaghetti and then she puts grated cheese on it. She goes to a lot of trouble, and it's really a good meal.
Yeah.
Fattening, but it's good.
Well, the children don't mind.
Oh, no, they love it. They could use it all.
Well, doesn't she have anything that's not fattening?
Oh, well, the meat usually isn't, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes she usually has a salad or sometimes. But, and some type of vegetable.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, a balanced meal.
I would tell you, Judy, I learned a lot now. I appreciate that.
Well, now I hope you haven't had your tape recorder on.
Well, I put it on.
No, don't. Always come over here if you like. Now, shut. Judy's got that tape recorder on. He's going to tape you.
I ought to keep that thing connected, so if you get into something interesting, I can stick it on.
Stamp on the floor and turn it off.
Yeah. I got a little buggy here to put it on, but I got so sort of lazy, I quit.
You don't have it on.
I tell you what, I got one over here.
Don't you change your mind?
I got to get really fancy.
Okay.
Thank you anyway. I do appreciate it.
I can play the president's speech.
Did you tape record it from good?
I tape almost, you know, a lot of things like that.
What'd you think of it, Guy?
Well, I tell you what, I went to sleep.
He and Spiro are a real team, aren't they?
You know, half the things I tape, I never play them again, but I never know when I want to play them again.
That's true.
There's several cute little things I can play, but I can't find them. You know, after all, it's 4 hours on a tape, and it's all about finding things. You've got to have a filing system that's much better than mine.
Don't you have a counter on there? You know?
I have to make it if I put it on.
You don't have a thing that ticks off?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go through one day and just start it at the beginning? And write down Nixon's speech starts at 01 and then work your way on up.
That's right.
Now you've got to say it there for you guys.
Right there.
But it would take 4 hours to listen to it all, though.
Yeah, but then just think, whenever you wanted to hear something, you wouldn't have to listen to 4 more hours.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to listen to it at all. Well, this morning I taped this half hour of, what's the man's name? He's on the news. He has news, 5 minutes of news. Here they now. Bushnell from Chicago. And he did this.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
Harvey. He's good.
And he did, you know, they took it off for a while. He had the little Bible story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was one of the finest things. It's on Channel 2. And they took it off for a while. And I just accidentally saw it this morning, and he did the creation over again.
Oh, it's good.
But he did it different from what he did it before. It's on there now. I can play it right now if you want to hear it.
I'll hear it. I believe you.
You've already eaten this steak.
I've got to get. My mother's going to wonder about where
I am.
She wonder
where you are.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing this one. She knows you.
Yeah. I
certainly
appreciate
you
bringing
me out. Well, I'm glad
to
do
it.
Nick,
it was nice seeing
you
again.
Yes, enjoyed it.
Y'all take it easy, baby.
All right.
Yeah. Good talking to you.
Yeah,
so
nice dark. How'd you get that thing stick in there, Nick? Without the jigger.
All right.
Without what?
Well, get the bulb to stay.
Oh, there's a slot for it there.
What is it?
So you take that thing out, and that makes it not so directional. You know, now you can get a wide span, see?
Ooh.
See? That'll cover you a big area now, bigger than... That little thing made it go straight in one area, that little thing.
She talks well, doesn't she?
Boy, she rattles it off. Loud, nice loud boy.
Beautiful voice, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's got the diamond sense,
guys. Where do they live? They live in town?
Well, that's around 800, Channel 1 over, and that's the end of this little surprise, unexpected visit of Judy. Judy Lee, this Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971, around 800, Channel 1 over. A surprise visit of Judy Lee. She brought Mamu back in her little VW. This Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971, Channel 1 over. And this surprise visit, Judy Lee, she brought Mamu back in her little VW this Sunday afternoon, 24th of January, 1971.